Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Welcome to Give Me Your Heart. I'm Margie Campbell, Christian wife, mom, and musician. This is a space where I offer encouragement to women in all walks of life who desire to grow closer to the Lord, and especially moms and grandmas who are discipling young children. I am so glad you're here.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Turkey Day!
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. Well, happy pecan pie day.
Yes.
I ate a lot more pecan pie than I did turkey. I went to dinner after dinner after dinner. And what I did at those dinners was eat pie.
Yep.
And I don't normally fall like that. And I fell hard. At our dinner, which was on Tuesday,
we had a sugar-free, dairy-free pumpkin pie.
Yes, and the crust was sprouted flour, so it was, you know, good for you. So I didn't fall hard at the original Thanksgiving dinner. But at the Hausworth Thanksgiving dinner, I had to have a piece of Nancy's coconut cream.
So what this means is that your self-control is on a timer.
Oh.
You know, like you can make it through like one dinner.
I don't know. Or maybe it means that our Thanksgiving dinner here at home was the real Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
And everything after that wasn't real. So I could do whatever I wanted.
Oh my word.
Different matrix. I don't know. But I went from the Hausworth dinner where I ate, well, actually it wasn't Aunt Nancy's coconut cream pie that started this. It was Daisy's peanut butter cornflake cookies.
That is true.
And then I went to pecan pie, and what happened there, I didn't eat any. I mean, I might have eaten a bite of pecan pie at Grandma Mary's, but I ended up with two whole pecan pies here at the house on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And then even Sunday morning at breakfast, there was a little sliver of pecan pie left, and I ate it. And I just, corn syrup crazy. The hypocrisy is hysterical to me, because your dad would go, you go through the grocery store and refuse to buy anything that has corn syrup listed on the ingredient label. And then
you eat a pie and the main ingredient is corn syrup and pecans.
Like a whole cup. So listen to this ratio: a cup of pecans, a cup of corn syrup, and a cup of white sugar, and then three eggs to balance that out.
Because that, you know, protein.
Because protein. Oh my! So I fell really hard, but whatever. No, it really isn't a whatever. I need to not do that again at Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how, because I have all of these pecans. And what do you do with pecans? You bake. Oh, salad. I like pecans in salad.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do more walnuts in salad these days because Daisy is allergic to pecans.
Yeah. That's right. I almost forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like her, it used to be, it's just gotten worse and worse.
Uh-huh.
And I really think that she needs to stop, because it would first just be like this weird feeling that she would get, and then things started swelling.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, quit.
Stop
with the pecans before you have some kind of reaction that requires Jesus to save you. Don't run my Thanksgiving at the emergency room. Nobody needs that. Oh, my word. So what was your favorite part of Thanksgiving?
I think my favorite part of Thanksgiving. It was probably watching Dalton play with Ben and Maggie at Grandma's.
Ah.
That was so pretty entertaining.
So Maggie is the youngest grandchild, and Benjamin, is the oldest great-grandchild. And they are 3 and 4.
Yes.
Ben will be 3. Yep. January 1st. He's a New Year's baby. And Maggie just turned 4. So they are they less than a year apart? No. A little over a year apart.
Yeah.
And so there has been zero empty nest at
yes
for my mom and dad.
But we this year at Thanksgiving or this holiday, Ben was talking, and the last time that we saw him, I don't think that he was really talking yet.
That much.
So that was an interesting, it was interesting to finally see them interacting in that way.
Yeah. But we don't, I would say the last time we saw them was 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we see them at Thanksgiving, Easter, 4th of July,
yeah,
he doesn't know us.
Yeah.
And so he's going to get to a point now where he is old enough mm-hmm. to remember us from only two or three times a year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know what his response is going to be like. Oh, the crazy people showed up. I don't know. But anyhow, love Ben. Love his little brother and sister.
Oh, yeah.
I literally told your dad that if his younger brother, so there's Ben and then there's the twins, and the twins, a boy and a girl, are less than 18 months younger than Ben. And everyone did hear me correctly. So he's almost 3, and his younger brother and sister are almost 18 months. So it is wild at their house.
Yep.
And John is the little boy twin, and then Lily is the little girl twin. And I told your dad, if John goes missing and they are frantic, don't help them. Just know that he is in Maggie's car seat in our Suburban, and I'm taking him home. He's an absolute doll. I would take Lily too, but Maddie's like, you would bring Lily back. But I don't think so. I sent you that meme this morning. What did it say? People say that I'm difficult, but I am perfectly fine when I'm alone. So the problem cannot be me.
Yes.
And my guess is that Lily is perfectly content if everybody would just leave her alone. But anyway, apparently they think, you know, that she's testy or grouchy.
Testy.
I do not think that a screaming toddler girl is testy or grouchy. I think that this is a woman with a firm no. And an I told you, and I like that in a girl. I like a girl with a good no. I've raised several of those. I am one of those. Anyway, so what I'm saying is Lily is ours.
Yes.
And I'd take her too. So there you go. There's my obsession with babies. My niece has beautiful babies. And
yes.
And I love them. Well, today we're supposed to talk about prayer.
That's right. We're going to go ahead and get into the Word. Specifically the book of Matthew. So let's turn to chapter 6 and we will read the model prayer. You want to read it this time?
Sure, I can do that. But I am currently in Romans and I've got to flip over. This morning I was doing, there's a sermon that I'm listening to, and it's a series, and one of them is in Romans 6, and then one of them is in Romans 7, and one is in Romans 8. And I'm so excited to finally get to Romans 8, where it says there's now no condemnation for you. I'm like, yay! This very hard passage ended with good news. So, all right. So, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So there you go.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been discussing that phrase for a few episodes now. And you've explained how you use that in your morning time with the younger kids here at home to pray for God's will to be done. But I want to point out that you do have a devotional prayer life beyond what you do at the table with the little kids.
I do.
And I want to talk about your hair.
My hair?
Yes. Anybody who knows you knows that you have a lot of hair.
Oh, well, it's thinning thanks to perimenopause.
But you could still, you could lose a lot and still have a head of hair.
That's true. What does this have to do with my prayer life?
Well, some of my earliest memories, most constant memories of you, are with your wet head flipped over and your hair full of mousse, and you've got your Bible and your notebook spread out everywhere on the floor, and you're blow drying your hair with a diffuser attachment while you study.
It's literally my only quiet time.
It's like the Susanna Wesley story. Oh, where yes, she would flip her apron over her head.
So I flipped my hair.
Time from her kids. Your hair is
Susanna
apron.
Flipped her apron. I flipped my hair.
Yeah.
You know, though, Susanna didn't have electricity.
Yes.
She couldn't. Yeah. So what Susanna needed was flip the apron over, but she didn't have the roaring of an electric appliance
to drown out
the noise. Because let's keep it clear. People do come and talk at me. While I am blow drying my hair, I simply don't have the moral conundrum of, can I ignore my child? Do I have to pretend like they're? I literally can't hear them because I already have really poor hearing. Mm-hmm. So now I've blinded myself and put a roaring appliance next to my head. And a lot of times I have an earbud in and I'm listening to a sermon while I'm at it. So
and who
it's
knows
like,
how much of that hearing loss is because of some appliance
stop
in
that.
The ear.
No, but it is actually no telling what goes on around this house when I am blow drying my hair. But anyway.
So I want to know what you're doing under the blow dryer.
Well,
because everywhere we've ever lived, you immediately unpack your Bible study stuff and you set up a little corner in a room, and that's where you blow dry your hair. It's your place.
It's true. It's amazing that I can still get down on the floor the way my knees are. But
I'm sure.
It doesn't, well, getting down on the floor is not near the problem that getting up is. But anyway, that's my quiet time. And it's the best. It's the best. I highly recommend it. It's the only time I don't get interrupted constantly. Yeah. So what do I do under there? I have your notebooks, you kids.
Yeah.
I have 9 of those, obviously. And I haven't decided yet whether I'm going to get Lil her own notebook. Because right now she's just in Dalton's.
Yeah.
It's like they're one. But they're not fancy notebooks. They're just little special, cheapy. Well, I guess I shouldn't say special. They're not special.
Yeah.
They're just little cheapy Walmart notebooks. They're not even spiral bound. They're glued and sewn. What kind of binding is that called?
It's a question for Luke, I'm sure.
Yeah, he used to work at a bindery. He would know. Anyway, they're sewn. They're super cheap. It's not a financial investment at all. But they're cute. Some of them have flowers or puppy dogs.
Yeah.
Or just different things. And then I just get out a Sharpie and write your name on it. And I used to kind of wander about in my thoughts and just, so I would do whatever my little study was for the day. Mm-hmm. And really when you guys were little, I almost always read in my private devotions, whatever day of the month it was, like, let's say it was the 13th, I would read Proverbs chapter 13. Mm-hmm. And then in your notebook, I would pray for whoever I was praying for. I would just read through Proverbs chapter 13. And then I don't know. I randomly chose Proverbs chapter 13. I don't know what Proverbs chapter 13 says, but here, okay, let's choose Proverbs chapter 3. Probably the most famous proverb out there. 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Yeah. So I would, maybe write that down, or I would say, oh dear God, please help Mary Caroline to trust you with her whole heart and help her not to lean on her own understanding. Mm-hmm. Or I might pray for myself, help me as a parent not to lean on my own understanding with Mary Caroline. Or maybe there was something, a discipline issue or a sin issue I was seeing in your heart Maybe you were struggling with lying, or maybe you were struggling with being diligent or not forgiving one of your brothers. I can't imagine that that would have been an issue when you were little with three brothers surrounding you. But I would just pray about that.
Yeah.
And so it was more of a journaling. I think back then I didn't have individual notebooks for you.
Yeah.
I had probably, well, not probably. I know I had a notebook.
Yeah.
And I would just
make an entry for a child. Yeah.
Yes. And also praying for dad, praying for extended family, praying for, you know, just different categories. But I think I kept it all like in one notebook, and it would start with something like Dear Father and end with Amen. And then in between it would read kind of like a journal entry about what was going on in our life and what I was worried about. And I know that what I remember most, you know how you don't really remember what you got for Christmas every single year, but you remember the feeling of Christmas when you were a little child.
Yeah.
So I guess I could go find these notebooks and find out exactly what I wrote down, but it's not so much the specific prayer requests or answers that I remember writing down as it was the feeling that it was very freeing to write it all down.
Yeah.
If I wrote these things down, especially things I was anxious about, then during the day when I would be tempted to worry, I could tell myself, no, you gave that to God. Mm-hmm. You wrote that down. You need to agree with what you wrote, and you need to leave it there in that notebook. It is in his hands.
Yeah.
And that was the building of a practice of literally giving you all to Father.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So you think that it helped you to write it down as opposed to just praying it out loud or like saying it in your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's because that combats loneliness.
Uh-huh.
Mothering is a very lonely journey. And not just because I was out on the road or in hotel rooms or, you know, not at home or in a community, but because many times daddies are just not as in tune with their children as mama is. And that's not a criticism. That's just a fact. I know your daddy, he was not. He was working. He was providing. He was doing the things God created him to do.
Yeah.
And many times he was away from home. He wasn't with us every day. And while he loved to hear about our day and he wanted to know details, the reality was he could only handle so many words from me. If I had told him everything that I journaled to God about you kids, he would have fallen asleep from exhaustion before I got through child number one.
That's funny, but true.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to fall asleep in the chair after supper. He was always just exhausted at the end of the day.
Right. And he worked hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is true for blue collar men, that they get up at 4:35.
Yeah.
They might have a commute.
Yeah.
And they are done. Mm-hmm. They are done at night. They're exhausted. And so who does a mom talk to? It helps to have girlfriends. It helps to have a tribe. But as close as a girlfriend can be, she doesn't see your child through your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And sharing too much about your child's strengths or weaknesses, it can really backfire.
Yeah.
There are personal issues that I have, maybe mental or spiritual, physical like health issues. There might be areas of disobedience or sin in my life, and I don't share those issues with a wide circle of friends. Mm-hmm. I'm really blessed. I have many, many sisters in Christ, not only around here, but from all the different places that we've lived and churches we've been involved in. But I only have a select few women that Father has placed in my inner circle, and he's placed them there to listen objectively and to speak truthfully with discernment into my life.
Yeah. And truth and discernment. Those are really heavy words.
Right. Those are words that carry respect. I need to respect my own privacy rights and give myself space to learn and grow without condemnation, mm-hmm. without gossip, without the opinions of people who aren't truly invested in discipling me in my relationship with Christ. And if I'm able to recognize the need for that privacy in my personal life, then the hope is that I will understand my child's need for that space as well and extend the grace to him or her by not sharing all of their personal issues mm-hmm. with, you know, the entire women's group at church or the entire friend circle at playgroup or especially the entire friends list on social media.
Yeah. As your child, thank you for that.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
That happens a lot. I see that happen a lot.
I wouldn't want, I don't know. I'm not saying I never do that in any way.
Yeah.
Every mother does that to some extent, mm-hmm. especially with those we're most comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I would say probably the hardest place for me is with my parents because I'm most comfortable with them. So and they're grandparents to my children. Mm-hmm. So they see and I see what my kids are struggling with.
Yeah.
I have to make a very concerted effort to not talk to my mom or my dad about what a child is struggling with. Mm-hmm. In front of that child.
Yeah.
And I'm never with my parents that my children aren't there. Yeah. But I mean, and that's a small example, but mm-hmm. it's not that I wouldn't talk to my folks about my kids. I talk to them most specifically about my kids.
Yeah.
But not in front of my kids. And these things do need to be shared. The concerns on a mom's heart do need to be shared. Yeah. And it is very lonely because she's holding all of these things and needs to talk about them. There's just an epidemic of loneliness in this journey of motherhood. Mm-hmm. And if you're working full time and you're taking care of young children, then you're probably surrounded by people constantly and yet you feel completely alone. But if you're staying at home full time, excuse me, and taking care of young children, you're not just feeling completely alone. You are completely alone adult-wise mm-hmm. because other than small children that can't communicate with you, you are physically alone during the day. Now, that's with small children. If your children are teens, they might be shutting you out and then you're feeling alone. If your children are grown and you don't talk to them as much as you'd like and don't see them as much as you'd like, then you're feeling alone. Let's say you're a grandma and you're not in your grandbaby's lives as much as you would like for a million different reasons. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? That woman is feeling alone.
Yeah.
Alone, 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 alone.
Yeah. And that's true across the board in this day and age. You know, I go out into the world every day and it's just very lonely. Everybody's on their devices. They have every minute of every day planned out. They're rushing. They're focused on their agenda. And I am too. We all are.
Right. It's a problem.
You know, statistics show that we are more connected and also more alone than we've ever been. And my experience is that young adults are very, very disconnected from their parents and from their siblings as well.
And that's sad because as an involved mom, no one loves your children as acutely as you do. Mm-hmm. No one has seen their motives and insecurities and strengths and weaknesses develop and then change over the years from, you know, early childhood all the way up. No one has seen that as much as the mom has. Add in that no one loves your child as much or especially in the same way as you do, mm-hmm. except for God.
Yeah.
So my name for God this week is in Psalm chapter 33, verse 15. We've already had our Bibles out reading the model prayer in Matthew. So I'm going to flip over to Psalm 33. You want to go there too?
Yes.
And I was working with Nate this morning. He was trying to find a passage in his Bible. And I said, okay, what do we do? And he said, we open it in half. We crack it in half. And if we do that, we end up in Psalms. And then we kind of use that as a roadmap to get to wherever we're headed. But
yes.
Okay. Psalm 33. I'm yakking and I'm not there. Verse 15. Do you have it?
Yes.
Okay. Read it.
It reads like this in the NASB. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works.
He who fashions the heart, hearts, plural. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works.
Mm-hmm. All is a pretty big word.
Right?
Yeah.
All. You can talk until you are blue in the face about a situation with your beloved child. Mm-hmm. And the friend across the table can hang on every word you say. And they can discuss it with you into the wee hours of the night while eating all the deep fried carbs a girl can order at Applebee's.
Onion rings.
This is making me think of chastity.
Oh, man.
But when it's all said and done, you are no closer to truly understanding your child.
The onion rings aren't that magical.
No, they're not. When you are down to the ketchup, when the grease is gone and you have eaten all the snacks, neither you or your friend can say, well, I fashioned that little boy's heart myself. I'm the potter that lovingly held his body and soul in my hands. I smoothed out this little piece here and intricately designed that little system there. I know all the actions that boy is ever going to take, and I understand the complex motives for each and every one. What's more, I love him infinitely. He's precious to me. I sing over him at night when you are long gone deep in sleep. I watch over him when you're away and also when you're standing right next to him. He's my priority, my prize, my possession. I can tell you whatever you need to know about him. I can show you how to love him. I can teach you how to guide him. Just ask.
I'm tearing up just as you say that.
Well, I've literally bawled buckets of tears under that blow dryer because I'm not just writing down my prayers in those notebooks. I'm also writing down how Father has answered. Mm-hmm. And he's so faithful. He is so, so thankful. Faithful. I just said thankful. He is faithful. And I am thankful for that. And it is Thanksgiving weekend. And this will probably get edited and will air sometime in December. But this past week when we had our big Thanksgiving dinner here at home, Daisy found a notebook.
That was so cool. It was very random.
It was. So just before supper, I sent her to find the documents that Dad and the guys read at our Thanksgiving dinner. It's kind of a little...
It's the proclamations. Yes. One from Abe Lincoln. And then
FDR in the 30s, there's one. So they're the Thanksgiving presidential proclamations. Yeah. And it's kind of just a little tradition. Sometimes Dad will read one. Sometimes Luke will read one. Dalton.
Yeah.
And
she didn't find the documents.
No.
But she did find this notebook that you had saved.
And it was it said on the front of it something about Thanksgiving. And so she brought it to me and I opened it up and it was fairly recent. It was like maybe 21. And we had all written down at least 5 things we were thankful for.
It was cute to see what some of the little ones had written down. Or had others write down for them.
Right, yeah. Now, there wasn't anything from Maggie because she would have been one.
Yeah.
But it was very nostalgic to revisit things that had happened that year. And we read them out loud. And I think, you know, like Silas had written down carrots or something on one of his. Or somebody had written it down for him. There was a lot of mommy and daddy.
Yes.
But then
Luke and I were both thankful to have passed our American History Club tests.
Yes. Exactly.
I thought that was like, I'm still thankful for that.
That's right. Yep. I had written something down about Maggie being able to nurse because she couldn't for like 5 months.
Yeah.
And so that was really something that I'd written down that year. Dad had written down that he and I had gotten away for our 25th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was in 24. It doesn't matter. We'd gotten away for something.
Yeah.
I'm sure Maggie was with us, but Well, anyway, so it was very nostalgic. It was very sweet, and we all laughed, and we got a kick out of that. But then we wrote 2024 on our papers, and we all made new lists. And Dalton and Lillian did it for the first time because Dalton was working nights in 21, so he wasn't at Thanksgiving. Well, anyway, it was all unplanned, and it was just, it was really sweet, and it was great. And I loved how nobody was fussy. Everybody was into it. Yeah. Everybody was just like busy
Everybody
writing
Everybody took
things.
It very seriously.
Yeah.
It was just, it was
And
fun.
They were focused, and I'm really excited in the future to get them back out and read them. But after we wrote them down, everybody read them, read the new lists out loud.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. And like several of us, not just women, several of us got emotional.
Yeah.
Reading. It was all very sincere. And and we couldn't have planned that. So hopefully next time it won't be accidental. I don't know. That's kind of how we roll, though. God knew. That's the point. God knew that everyone's hearts were in the right place to do that.
And it was nice. It was nice.
Because you've seen when a mom tries to do something like that or forces it.
Yeah.
Those things have to be organic or it just doesn't happen. But
yeah.
But the number one thing on my thankfulness list this year was an answer to the focus of many, many prayers. It was God bringing Lillian, our new daughter-in-law. And anybody who's listened to the podcast this year knows all about the wedding.
Oh, my word. We definitely covered the wedding.
But we did. We married off our firstborn this year, and he is one of the great loves of my life. He's one of my best friends. And I did not bawl my way through his wedding. Mm-mm. I didn't grieve. I didn't feel sad. Not in the months of planning. Not in the weeks of prep. Not during the weekend of celebration. And not in the exhaustion afterward. And, you know, I've wondered about that. Because this culture says that the mother of the groom needs to be sad.
Yeah.
She has lost her son forever. She's doomed to a life of loneliness and second place.
Yada, yada.
I mean, Google it. It is. Facebook is full of this junk.
And I'll bet your feed was chock full of anything even remotely marketable to a mother of the groom. Because you were shopping online for dresses
it
and wedding related items.
Disaster. I mean, and it has remained that way. I've had to live in that corner of the marketing world 4 months until the algorithm moved on to something else. And but this doomsday experience that modern culture thinks I need to be living, it's not been my reality.
But why is it reality for so many other people? You know, why is it not reality for you, I guess?
Well, I don't know. I think there could be a lot of reasons for why that would be reality. I think that in truth, if other women that have experienced that, mm-hmm. I'm not being disrespectful. They would very honestly look at me and go, you have 4 more sons that live in your home.
And you're so busy. You still have little ones
right. That
you're experiencing
right. That. And so
with.
I'm not saying that when Silas, the last of my sons, gets married, I might feel differently. I'm not saying that if I only had one son, I might not feel differently.
Yeah.
But I will push back because I love all of my children.
Yeah.
I don't divide up my love between my kids. And, you know, people look at large families and they go, yeah, but a really, really hard thing is, well, you have more if something were to happen to one of my children. And it's
Oh, wow.
Every child is precious.
Yeah.
Every last one. And Bubby's my firstborn, mm-hmm. and he's priceless to me.
Yeah.
And I would think that it would be worse, him being the oldest and really being my co-parent for many, many years, my ride or die, you would think that I would be really, really, really emotional. So I only have one explanation, and that is that I'm intricately involved in his life every day.
Yeah.
And I don't have to talk to him. I don't have to spend time with him. I don't have to know every detail of his life. And the answer to that is Psalm 33:15 that we just read. I'm connected to the one who fashioned his heart and the one who understands his works. I'm connected to him through that. Those prayers bring peace to my life.
Yeah.
They bring fellowship and they bring community. When I pray to Father, I feel heard. I don't feel judged. I don't feel like I've betrayed my son when I talk about him to Father.
Yeah.
It's not going to get repeated. It's not going to get gossiped about. I also feel like I've done something tangible because I know good and well that I have.
Yeah.
I have seen Father move on my son's behalf. I have seen him change my son's heart, develop his character over the years, sharpen his discernment, increase his work ethic.
Yeah.
I've seen God focus his priorities. I've seen him give him very clear direction. I've seen God discipline him. And my son has seen it too. Mm-hmm. Dalton has seen it and experienced it. He has seen Father answer my prayers in his life. He has experienced the knee buckling, awesome awareness that the God of the universe has just moved on his behalf.
Yeah.
Or just shown him his will. Or just spoken from heaven. And it has changed him. Mm-hmm. So when we gave our son away, it wasn't to his bride. It wasn't to her family. It wasn't to maybe the family they will create together. No. We gave him to the one we have been continually giving him to for 23 years. Mm-hmm. We gave him to his true father. And it was sweet. Yeah. It was joyous. It was one of the greatest blessings. It was a privilege. When I walked down on the dance floor to be led by my beloved son, and he chose such a beautiful song, I was ready to party. I was thrilled. I threw my hands in the air, and I whooped and hollered, and I was worshiping.
Yeah,
I really was. And I was thanking Father for his faithfulness in Bub's life. Not my faithfulness. I've not prayed perfectly. It's not like I've never missed an early morning on my knees or always written down every one of my petitions. It's not that I've kept my thoughts perfectly stayed on Christ or shared my concerns with Father first rather than my circle of friends.
Yeah.
It's just that Father alone has been faithful.
Yeah.
He has been perfect. He consistently takes the proverbial broken loaves and pieces of fish that I bring to him as my effort. And because I just have this meager little bit of faith that believes he's going to answer my prayers, then he does far more abundantly than I could ever ask or think.
Yeah.
And that is the motivation for me to pray more, for me to learn how to pray better, for me to learn how to pray more effectively and to grow in my prayer life. Yeah.
So how do you think that your prayers have changed over the years?
Oh my word. This is funny. But the very first thing that comes to my mind is Leah Lapine.
Okay. Why is that?
Because of this silly little sign that she got for Christmas a few years back. And it's famous now. It's on everything. But at the time, it was the first time that Leah and I had heard this or seen it. And it said, "Please excuse the mess. Our standards have lowered with each new child."
I've seen that sign.
Of course you have. It's everywhere. But it was new when Leah got it for Christmas. And it's everywhere now. It's exploded because it resonates with so many people. And it's a sarcastic, silly little thought. But when you big kids were little kids and my brain was young and not so foggy, I could focus my thoughts much easier. There was less chaos. And I know moms of littles think, how could it possibly get more chaotic than these little creatures running around uncontrolled? Oh, we started this podcast talking about Maddie's three that are so little and on top of one another. Well, excuse me. Give those three driver's licenses. Or even worse, the few years before they can drive themselves and you have to chauffeur them to every single activity so you're never home. It's just really hard to focus your thoughts. So I would say my prayers changed in that I couldn't just close my eyes and pray. Like even back then I said I used the proverb, you know, but I cannot imagine trying to sit down, close my eyes and just focus on praying.
Yeah.
It would be like whack-a-mole. I would get nothing done. Everybody would continue to interrupt me and I would just, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I would say that that because of adding on all the children and adding on, and when I say all the children, I'm talking like you, number three.
Yeah.
That's when my brain exploded probably. And definitely with number four.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking, oh, you have to have 9, 10 kids before you get overwhelmed. No, two or three will do it. I mean, just being outnumbered is plenty.
Yeah.
And so that is where I started using our weekly name for God.
Yeah. Okay. Do a quick recap on that for
sure. So in the model prayer, it begins, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." And on our website are three downloadable lists of names for God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And the scripture reference is listed where each name is found. And I just started using the name for God to pray for us.
Okay.
And I got each of you your own notebook, and I assigned each of you a day of the week. So when this first started, I would pray for Dalton on Sunday, or probably like Monday, and then Luke on Tuesday, you on Wednesday, that kind of a thing. But even then, it just, I would constantly miss a day, or, and I just had to get into a loop system.
Yeah.
Where if I was, I had to let go of being perfect at it or some organized system. And it just simply became, put them in a pile.
Yeah.
And when you get the chance to do this,
pull the one off the top,
take the one off the top. And I literally, I would put them, flip it open. I would write the day. So Tuesday, December 3rd or 4th, whatever, I would write the name for God and I would copy the scripture down. And then literally I would pray that verse of scripture over that child. That might be all I got done.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Maybe I had more time.
Uh-huh.
And I would write down anything that came to mind as like as a prompt from that verse.
Yeah.
And then the next day I'd grab the next notebook. I would write down the date, the name for God, copy the scripture again and journal a little bit.
Yeah.
Just whatever came to mind about that child.
Yeah.
I'm
sure that really got the name for God down in your mind that way as well. Just doing it over and over.
It would focus me on Christ.
Yeah.
It would focus me on the Father. It would ground me in that name. And the name is just an attribute of his character. So it was grounding me in his character. And then it would attach... If it was attaching me to Christ, then guess what? It was attaching Christ to my child in my brain.
Yeah.
So then throughout the day, as I'm handling that child or dealing with that child, listen to me, dealing with that children are a blessing. No, when that child would come up in my mind or maybe right up in my face, like, what are you doing? That attribute would come to mind and I'd be praying that attribute over that child again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And
there's no way that that's not changing you as you're praying for us.
Oh my. Yeah. I am the biggest beneficiary of any of this. It's drawing me closer to Christ. It's also benefiting my oikos.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I love, love, love the concept of oikos.
Yeah.
But that is a whole
oikos
other...
or oikos?
I think it's oikos.
I think it's oikos. It doesn't matter. It's Greek
doesn't matter.
And we don't speak
that. That is a whole other podcast episode.
I will not go there.
Yeah.
No, completely see, different you have your next topic. Episode all planned out, Sissy. You're ready to go.
Well, as we go today, I hope you don't mind, but I grabbed some of your notebooks.
You are stealing my stuff.
For a good purpose.
I was looking for those this morning.
But I hoped you might read some of your entries.
Oh.
I think it might be helpful for the women that are listening to hear exactly what you've written down. Like to see how you use the names in your prayers.
Okay. Well, that's a great idea. I'd love to. I won't say names. I promise. Okay. So you hand me one.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see here. Oh my gosh, guess what I turned to? June 17th. I'm not going to read that one. Okay. March 13th, the God of truth. This is from Psalm 31, verse 5. And it says, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth." And then I write, David was very bold and assured in this psalm. Basically, he says, pay attention to my prayer in a demanding way. In verses 3 and maybe even 4 and 5, he uses wording resembling the 23rd psalm. "For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength." And then it goes into verse 5, which I read, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth." And then I wrote this prayer, "Father, may this child," and I put this name in there, "be this assured in her faith and cause it to show up in her prayers. Train her in the prayers of Daniel, David, and Paul to pray without ceasing, to pray with fervor, to pray with confidence, to pray with fasting, to pray with courage, to pray with faith. And once she has prayed, train her to lay it down, to commit her spirit and to trust you with it. She can only pray like this and truly have a praying lifestyle if she knows your promises and covenants and believes you are a God of truth who tells the truth and then keeps his word. Build her in these areas and her Daniel." That's my name for, I just gave away whose notebook this is. Because that's my name for your husband. So see, I'm praying for your husband in here as well. "Build her in these areas and her Daniel as well. Prepare them for battle in Jesus' name." So that was March 13th. Let's see. October 13th, Father of Heavenly Lights. Where's that from?
James.
James chapter 1, yep. Verses 12 through 18. "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing it given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down," here's the name, "from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures." Then it says, "I'm praying all of this all day today for my girl. Thank you for her, Father. Protect her today and cause her to know and feel and trust your loving presence and guidance in Jesus' name." And then I'll do one more. You want me to do one more?
Yeah.
You want me to switch notebooks? You want me to stay with you?
Whatever.
It was the first one in the pile. Okay. Yeah. This is December 19th. "God, my maker." This is Job 35, verse 10. And it says Elihu is speaking. Elihu. I'm thinking Sound of Music right now. Elihu.
That's what I was thinking too.
Elihu, one of Job's three friends, he says, "But no one says, 'Where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens?'" And then here's the prayer. "Father, teach Mary Caroline that you are her maker and train her to humble herself before you daily in acknowledgement of that fact. Give her wisdom and faith in every area of her life, homemaking as a daughter, child training as a sister, worship leading as a member of your church, studying as a student, and instructing as a teacher. Over this winter, teach her new truths about yourself and cause her to fall more deeply in love with you. In Jesus' name. So I don't know. That's just an example in your notebook. Sometimes I'll just write the one verse. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just, it's more the passage that it's in because you get the context.
Yeah.
But instead of, dear God, bless Mary Caroline. Please keep Mary Caroline safe today. Please help Mary Caroline to be a good person. Please help Mary Caroline to trust in you. I don't have to come up with what to pray about.
Yes, you're just praying scripture.
I'm just praying whatever that
scripture
says. And
it also gives you peace that you're praying God's will because it's the word.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm guaranteed that God's going to answer this because I'm just praying his word back to him. And how can his word not be his will for you?
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, whether my brain was distracted by being pregnant or nursing, or whether I was being distracted by toddlers or middle schoolers or I don't know what, whether I'm being distracted now because I'm in perimenopause and my brain is foggy all the time, or because I'm just distracted in general from having so many people in so many stages of life, it doesn't matter. Whatever situation I'm in, moms are always distracted.
Yeah.
Moms are always worrying and moms are always feeling lonely in their mothering journey.
Yeah.
Because who can they talk to? And God says, hey, I know that kid.
Yeah.
I know everything about that kid. And instead of wondering what to pray about, just pray the word. Just pray for them from the word. And then a lot of times, whatever I might be worried about or concerned about for you, I could pray about that specific thing.
Yeah.
But I think that we get caught up in praying very specific thing. I want to see this change in my child. Mm-hmm. And God is and I think it's better not to not pray about that thing that we want to see change. But if you're over here, just praying scripture over your child.
Yeah.
God's going to change, your child. Mm-hmm. He may not take away the specific thing that you're concerned about in that moment, but it takes the control out of your hands.
Yes.
Because you probably, and I'm speaking from a mother's heart here, I'm probably overanalyzing what's going on in my child's life.
Uh-huh.
And God's going, stop trying to control your kid.
Yeah.
You weren't perfect at that age. I got a whole timeline of things I'm going to do in this kid's life that you know nothing about, woman. Mm-hmm. You come over here and pray my word. Take your hands off. He's not a piece of Play-Doh that you can make into this little image that you want. You think you know what I'm doing. Humble yourself and come over here and just pray my word.
And then let me do it.
And let me do it. And you know what? If we truly believe God's word, then it is a submission out of faith to pray God's word rather than our words. Mm-hmm. It is a submission of my faith to go, I trust that you're going to be the one that changes that child's heart in that specific area.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm not going to obsess over it. I'm just going to come over here and I'm going to pray your word.
Yeah.
And there's a release in that. There's a letting go. And
yeah. Well, let's close out today singing Ephesians 3:17.
Oh, that's a good one.
You wrote this one a long time ago. The girls were really little. And it's one of the first songs that they sang on stage.
It is. Michaela had me sing it into her Build-A-Bear.
Oh my word, yes. That was a little creepy.
And then the Build-A-Bear battery went down and it sounded like this psychotic, scary, I pray that. It was wonky.
And it would just kick on without
it
you touching
it. Randomly.
And I shared a bedroom with her and she slept with that teddy bear. So it would just like click on in the middle of the night. And I'm just like.
And it's like mommy's voice, really creepy and slow. It's like I'd snuck into the room and climbed in beside you and going, I pray that.
You
would like for us to not sing it like that.
Just not sing it like
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. I still sing this to Maggie almost every night. And not creepy either.
Oh, my word.
Sometimes she'll go, okay, Mom, leave me alone now. I'm ready to go to bed. She loves to go to bed.
Yes, she does. She loves her sleep.
Oh, my goodness. So are you going to sing harmony?
I'm going to try.
You are in the middle of a nasty.
Yes.
Silas woke up this morning and he goes, I can't breathe out of my nose. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. It's Sissy's fault. Sissy and Luke.
Sorry.
Guys are, and then you ate all that sugar at Thanksgiving.
I know.
I'm teasing. All right, so here we go. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. Living within you as you trust in him. Living within you as you trust in him. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. Ephesians 3:17. I pray that Christ will be. Ephesians 3:17. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts.
You were singing some funky harmonies there, girl.
I was a little bit different, but that's okay.
You what? Experimenting a little bit.
I noticed.
Yeah.
I started really low to help you out with the high harmony.
Yeah.
So I was like down in tenor range.
It's been
a
while since I've actually sung that one. So
it is.
I was guessing maybe a little bit there.
What I will say about that song is that when I am absolutely exhausted at the end of the day, it helps me to be able to go, Lord, I pray that you will be more and more at home in Maggie's heart, living within her as she trusts in you.
Yeah.
And it literally, how can you go wrong just praying that?
Yeah.
And these simple little scripture songs have helped me to do that, to just focus when my brain is anywhere but wanting to pray for my child, because I'm done with the day and I'm like, oh, would you just shut up, go to sleep, you know? And I said, Maggie likes to go to sleep, but that, but she can, she is almost four. She's aggravating. And the boys, they are done at the end of the day they're not done. They, I think, would stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And your dad and I are like, all right, I was nice 17 times.
Yeah.
I've sung the song. I've gotten the water. We've gone potty twice.
Go to bed.
Go to bed. You know, and so you're just searching. And I find something very, using God's word to pray over them is a literal, it's a godsend.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired. And I keep reading Maggie's speed dial book right now is the Berenstain Bears.
Yep.
Say their prayers. And it literally talks about Mama Bear and Papa Bear falling asleep while brother and sister bear are praying for everybody in bear country just so they can stay up later.
Yep.
And it's ridiculous. Nighttime can be absolutely ridiculous. So I just encourage mamas, find a couple of verses, put them on a card, whatever, to just pray God's word over your children.
Yep.
And take the, oh my goodness, what am I going to pray for? One more time, I've got to pray. You know, no, it doesn't. God doesn't want it to be that way. So, well, as we sign off today, I want to wish everyone a peaceful and joyful Advent.
Yes.
And a focus on Christ this December. And peace and joy. Keep things simple. Mm-hmm. Keep things simple. Like I said earlier, your children really aren't going to remember what they got for Christmas, but they, no pressure here, they will remember what it felt like.
Yeah.
So keeping it simple is, because there will be chaos. The chaos is a certainty.
Yeah, that's a guarantee.
And it doesn't matter how many children you have, there will be chaos. Mm-hmm. Christmas chaos, they go together. But keeping your sanity, at least for me, starts with praying God's word.
Yeah.
So live in it and abide and stay there.
Yeah, until next time. Give God your hearts.
Give God your hearts.